So at this point in time, the Korean War was over, correct?
Right.
All right. And you were saying that you were on Eniwetok Island laying teletype cables after your basic training.
Right.
All right.
But again, that was only a temporary job.
So that was a temporary job.
Yeah.
And after that, they had moved you back to teletyping, and you were saying that you had been typing up information and papers about basically the transfer of materials and products back and forth.
Right.
Was there anything that was specifically rememberable from that, that kind of struck your memory, maybe something you were typing and you got to read, anything that was particularly interesting?
Yeah, but it was the second test. They were always about 6 in the morning they did these.
Sure.
And I happened to be working that morning. So I locked up my cage, which was about the size of this room, and walked outside to see it go off. And as soon as I saw it go off, then I walked back inside, unlocked my cage, went in, and it's good I did, because 2 minutes later, a man walked up to the counter and said, Private, do you have a message for him? And I said, yes, sir. I knew he was brass, but he had no insignia. And so he filled out this message thing, and he said, I'll wait while you send it. Well, I looked at it, and it was to President Dwight Eisenhower, from Admiral Louis Strauss, chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, who had also been, he had been an admiral, and he had also been the Secretary of Commerce in peacetime, too. See, he says, I'll wait while you send it. And I sat down, and when you type on teletype, like on a computer, in essence, you can type what's called, on paper, you know, just like a typewriter, okay? But if you don't want to do that, you can type on tape.
Okay.
Type on tape. Tape's got 5 punched holes in it. And you do all the letters on there. And you can also type on tape that not only has the holes, but it shows what you're reading.
Okay.
You can correct the tape as you go along. If you type on paper, you can't correct it. I was so nervous sending a message to the President of the United States. Remember, I was 18 years old.
Sure.
And a guy's waiting. And I would say every third letter I typed, I made a mistake.
Oh.
And I keep backing up and typing a new one, backing up, typing up. Then when I got it all done, I printed it and handed him a copy because he wanted a copy. He looked at it and he said, thank you. Then I transmitted the tape to the back room where they double encoded it because it was to the president.
Sure.
It was, they have what's called precedence when they send messages. There's flash. That would be like an atomic bomb hitting New York City, or like a 9/11. There's emergency, which is a big, big thing. Only those two are only used in war.
All right.
And then there are other ones that go down in precedence. That's to let you know what message do I handle first. If I've got a bunch of them, say, this was emergency.
Oh, yeah.
And so all the bells go off in my room, and then the other one, you type that in, they hear a ding, 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 it's coming, and that means everything stops for that to go through. See?
That's kinda
so
cool.
That was a big thrill, I got to tell you.
All right. Well, so just to clarify here, you're on Eniwetok Island, and you finished up with the regular job. They found work for you typing up papers.
Yeah.
And as you're there, you're stationed there typing up papers and whatnot, they're also firing off hydrogen bombs. They're testing hydrogen bombs other side of the atoll.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So.
No, actually, on Bikini, 5 of them on Bikini and 1 on the other side of Eniwetok.
Okay. So you got to see 1 at least then.
Oh, no, I see all 6.
Oh, you
did?
Okay. Sure.
The first one, you're not even going to be able to comprehend this, was 3 times bigger than they expected.
Okay.
And secondly, it was, just comprehend this now. You've seen stuff on Nagasaki or Hiroshima.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. This was 1,000 times greater in blast. 1,000. Had that been able to be set off on Japan, you know, years earlier, there wouldn't have been a Japan.
Yeah.
It would have been gone.
Yeah.
And it was so huge that the moon turned green. It was, you know, powdery white, you know, as sunrise. It turned totally green when the light bounced off the moon. They saw the flash in Japan, 2,000 miles away. And 15 or 16 minutes later, the shockwave hit us and knocked the coffee cups off the shelf in our tent at 180 miles. That's like to Chicago and back,
yeah.
You know. And we thought it was, wow, you see the fireball. It was so huge. You could actually see a fireball. Think of that with the curvature of the Earth.
Sure.
And the funny thing to show you how age affects people, we were all 18 or 19. And we thought, wow, is this something? There's one guy who was 21. And I remember his name to this day, but I'm not going to use it. He walked back to the tent, and his eyes were filled with tears. And the reason was he was mature enough to know the seriousness of what he was seeing.
Sure.
Where to the rest of us, it's kind of, it's cool, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Wow. So you were able to witness the hydrogen bombs going off.
Mm-hmm. There was one other incident over there, I think, with the blast I just mentioned.
All right.
Some Japanese fishermen were fishing for tuna. There was a 500-square-mile area where no one was allowed in. They kept coming in there, and the Navy kept escorting them out and told them, you're not allowed in here. They sneaked back in, and they got downwind of that blast. They were on their tuna boat, and all of a sudden, this radioactive white ash starts falling, like snow,
mm-hmm.
all over them and their boat. And they got all rattled. They thought it was something mystical. You know, they didn't know. But they had seen the blast. They hightailed it for Japan, but by the time they got there, one guy was dead and all the rest of them had severe radiation poisoning.
Right.
And so as a result, even though there were six tests, the government only announced the first three because Americans as well as foreigners were protesting this so much that the government said, well, we're still going to do it. We're just not going to tell you when we do it. And it's ironic because the Russians would know. They had submarines around there, I'm sure. The
yeah.
Japanese would know because they could see the flash and all that. But the public didn't know.
Would as far as being able to see that, would you say that that changed your life quite a bit, seeing those that kind of firepower and what?
Yeah, it was so awesome. It was so beyond any experience. That's still the largest explosion in the history of the world.
Sure.
Nothing bigger than that ever. And but in some respects, the small one, the last one, on Inuvik Atoll itself, there was more intimate involvement because there we had to wear dark glasses. Mm-hmm. We had to turn our back to the blast. And even at 35 miles, felt the heat hit us on our backs. And we had to count to 10 before we could turn around and look. But that one was a 15th the size of the other one, I think, whatever. What is it like? Yeah, that was, 1.6 megatons, and the first one is 15 megatons.
Okay.
Yeah, see,
so.
So
way
smaller. Yeah, yeah.
Big difference.
Now, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki were 1,500 kilotons. You know, kilo being 100.
Sure, sure.
And a mega being 1,000.
So significantly smaller.
Yeah.
So, just to backtrack,
mm-hmm.
the operation that you were in altogether was called Operation Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you say that the idea or the what were they trying to accomplish with this?
Okay, they were trying to develop a droppable hydrogen bomb. One of the books I'll leave you here, The Dark Sun. You will see pictures of all the bombs here, all of these.
All right.
Which I never even saw. I saw them going down the street at some time when they were taking them from our island over to Bikini, but they'd all be boxed. They'd be on a big flat car, and there'd be 50 MPs around it, all withdrawn 45s.
Sure.
And we had, you know, 1,000 Army guys over there. 500 were MPs, just for security,
yeah.
See. What they were trying to do is develop a droppable hydrogen bomb. The ones we were testing weren't droppable. They were too big. But they lied through propaganda. They or hinted that, you know what, have you ever seen a B-47? It's a medium-sized bomber. It's got slanted wings. It's got all jet engines. It was state of the art at that time,
okay.
And I don't think they're around anymore. Anyway, that plane could reach any part of Russia from the bases that the U.S. had, like in Turkey and
sure.
in Europe. And that was built to carry an H-bomb. That's what it was for.
Sure.
And the Russians knew that. But one wouldn't fit in the plane.
Sure.
But our government acted like it would.
Yeah.
And so there was a little subterfuge there, see.